All right. Kia ora, whānau. Kia ora. Hey, all right, sweet. So just while I get set up. So today at the back, I was handed what can be called nothing other than the clicker of power. And so that means that I'm in control of my own slides, not destiny, this morning. Now, one of the things, though, is that I don't normally do this, so if I have forgotten, just yell out, Dave, you've forgotten, or something like that. Is that all good? Dave, you've forgotten? And that, and then I'll remember that I have the clicker of power, not of destiny, and we should be all good. Sweet? Yeah? All right, you guys can participate in this, okay? We are a family here. This is church. Cool? Yeah, awesome. All right, sweet. Cool. I'm glad you guys are with me. All right. And we're up already. Awesome. Hey, so this morning, we are in our Markers of Maturity series. We are carrying on. We are now week three. And I'm speaking this morning on the marker that is community. And I think that it's at a very interesting time that this has happened. With all that we've been hearing, even this morning, talking about, praying through, I feel like this is a very interesting topic to have come our way. Community. Community. Especially, I would say because of two really big reasons that I think this is important, this topic, not just because of the series, but because of the cultural moment that we're in, as well as the season that we're finding ourselves. And that would be that we live culturally in a world that is like hyper individualized. Like we just do. Like everything is self-centric. Everything is designed that way, you know, to get as much as you want when you want, kind of thing. That is our culture. And so yes, this topic of community is massive. It's major. We need to be leaning into it. Because community is a fun word to say, but it's a hard thing to play. I don't know. I was just trying to rhyme it there. But you know, like do you understand what I mean there? Oh, come on. Rude. So community, like it's an on-trend word, you know, like community this, community that. But then when it comes to actually being community, that can be really, 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 really times a thousand tricky because of people. Second reason why I think it's really timely is because of COVID-19. And we literally have this thing right now, which is self-isolation. So it's like, okay, that's interesting. So, if the church is called to community, which I believe it is, and here at CBC we believe we are, how does that look in a culture like that? So we really have to wrestle with it, okay? Because we don't want to be those individuals that potentially are the cause of increased, like we've been talking about, increased anxiety or even illness. So then what does it look like for us to be community in today's age? I think it's some really, really important questions that we need to ask ourselves. Because often, if you're anything like me, community is the buzzword, but then when it comes to actually figuring it out, it can be so hard to actually go, okay, where do we go from here? How do we actually live in community? How do we be a community? And that kind of thing. And so, if we were all to imagine, okay, come with me now. You're with me? Coming? Yep, awesome. Imagine, if we were all to imagine our idea of a perfect community, I bet that we would end up with as many different versions as people here this morning, potentially, right? So I invite you, imagine your kind of community. Imagine, just for a moment, just think about just what would it be like? What would it be filled of? You know, like I know for my wife it would be cats, you know, like that's the perfect community. Cats everywhere, that kind of thing. For me, the perfect community would look something like old Oxford streets, lots of books, and thank you, Yeah, coffee. I was going to say coffee, but pottery works as well, you know? Like, and so we all have a picture of what we would love, you know, how we would love life to look and the people that we would be engaging in. Now, you would all be in tweed, I'm just saying, okay? Okay, we would look amazing and we'd all have big, thick rim glasses. Does this sound good? No, see, thank you. There was some honesty. Now, who said yes? And we'll hang out later after this, okay? Yeah, okay, sweet. But see, my idea of a perfect community is looking probably really different to a bunch of you here this morning. And that's okay, because that's actually what makes community beautiful, but it also makes it tricky, because we have so many different things that we value and want to bring into community. So that's why community can look so diverse. And another word for diverse is messy. So our idea of community varies between us all, but I would say that our value of community doesn't. So our idea of what community looks like may differ, but our value of it wouldn't. As humans, we all value community. We are all members of different groups. Yeah? Teams? Clubs? Yeah, that kind of thing. Who's a member of something? Oh, come on, guys. You're all a member of something, see? So we're talking to you. We as humans, as a collective, we are involved in different things. If you go to work, you're part of a team, community. Just saying. The fact that you are here this morning tells me that you value community. You know? Now, the introverts here this morning are having potentially a hard time with believing that line, but you're here, okay? We'll leave it at that. This community here this morning is a part of something like way bigger. It is a part of a community that is way bigger. The church had its beginning over 2,000 years ago, just after Jesus was crucified on a cross, died, rose again 3 days later. After this, we read about the birth of the church. When the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised he would send comes to the followers of Jesus. And so we find ourselves here this morning a part of that, a part of something bigger than ourselves here this morning. There is something that's also really important to note about like the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church. And that is that community is the result. It's really important to note that with the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church, which we are a part of here this morning, the result of that was community. Now, if you're anything like me, like I often read and take note of all the other wonders that take place around that time of the coming of the Holy Spirit. But right at the very beginning, right in the very middle of it all, we see a community formed. And we see it formed out of a group of followers of Jesus who at this point were scared, disenfranchised, frightened, not knowing what was what, potentially feeling a bit betrayed because they just invested 3 years of their life for following a dude who ended up dying on them. And so you can see this freaking out little community. And then Jesus rises from the dead. He hangs out with them for a small amount of time, and then he says, hey, it's actually better for me to go because I'm going to send one that can be with all of you all of the time. And he's called the Holy Spirit. And so we see this frightened little community shift from that to it's not even like a country club kind of community. You know, it's not even like picturesque. We see a radical, life-changing, spirit-indwelled and empowered community formed at the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church. And that's really important for us to pick up and note this morning. That, if you will, the first, like, sign, the first wonder of the coming of the Holy Spirit was the forming of a community of people who potentially had never spoken to each other, who were from completely different social classes, And they come together and they share everything in common. How crazy is that? I think it's crazy if we apply it to this day and age and just how polarized culture is, how polarized society is, where it's like we've gone back to a form of tribalism where it's us versus them and so many different things. So think about that in this day and age, with everybody at each other's throats, and then a community is formed out of a bunch of those different people who had potentially completely different views and backgrounds, all of a sudden sharing everything in common and going hard after Jesus. I think it's a really important picture to pull into this day and age for us to hear, to see, to go, this is what Jesus has begun, this is what Jesus is still doing. And you, brothers and sisters, are a part of that this morning. How good is that? Yeah? Yeah, it's so good. It's relieving for me. So we're going to read Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. We read this passage a couple of weeks ago because this passage describes what that community was like and just like how radical it was. It says this. I didn't even do that. Did I do that? No. Thanks, guys. You're amazing. You were meant to say, Dave, you forgot. Come on. Anyway, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That is a crazy picture. That is a crazy, crazy picture. But I'll tell you what, family, this is still happening. This is still God's plan. This is still what God is up to. This is a part of your story. Are you aware of that? Do you know that what Jesus began over 2,000 years ago, he has drawn you into because he loves you like crazy. And he wants to live life with you now, not later, now. And so let's capture a picture of why community is important to God and what his community looks like. And so why community? Why is it so important? Like, what is important about it? And why is it such a major component to God's plan? Did you ever realize that? That community is a major component to God's plan. It is a major component and player in his kingdom. Try have a kingdom without a community. It doesn't really work, does it? But Jesus came to establish his kingdom here on earth. We pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In a simple prayer like that, we are joining with God's heart for the extension of his kingdom here on earth. God's family, his community. Why is it important? So, I'm going to throw up a couple of points. I'm going to remember this time. Woohoo! You meant to go woohoo with me. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that was good. All right, we're getting there, guys. So, my first point is as to why it's important and why to mature as a Christian, I need to be in community. Because we need to bring it back to the series, yeah, markers of maturity. God is a community. God is a community. Now, by this I mean that God has always existed in community. Before he created anything, before there were angels, before there was anything, he was a community. He exists in community. 1 John 4 says that God is love. the very personification of love. And to love requires someone to love, right? So if he personifies love, then he has to have someone to love. And if there was a point in time where it was only him, then there's got to be someone to love. And so we see that within the being of God, one God, there are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who have eternally coexisted in loving community together. I'll say that again. They have eternally coexisted in a loving community with one another. God is a community. Before there was, God existed in community. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, we could spend like forever on this. We're not going to. But it's really important as Christians to recognize that God, who created all life, created it out of being in community. All of a sudden, community, when we start to understand things like that, takes on, like, in a way, like a heavenly ring to it. Old mate, Daryl Johnson, that's actually not his title, Daryl Johnson, in his book Experiencing the Trinity, he says this: "The living God is not a solitary God. The living God is not an isolated God. From all eternity, the living God has lived in relationship, indeed has lived as relationship." One more time. From all eternity, the living God has lived in relationship, indeed has lived as relationship. Just blows my mind, that one. The next thing as to why community is important and why we need to be involved in it to mature in our faith would be this. Community is at the heart of God. Because God is communal in himself, that is, his nature and essence is community, then it must be also at his heart. If he is community, then his heart is for community. Because he is communal, God's desire was that it would be a shared experience beyond himself. Say that again. Because he is communal, God's desire was that it would be a shared experience beyond himself. God is a community. And because of that, and because of his heart being community, the desire was for people to, or whatever, to experience community because of who he was. It was something that just had to happen. I love that out of the overflow and abundance of God came community. Out of the overflow and abundance of God came community. That it was something that, it's like, what's a good picture of that? Like, you know, somebody who's just like an artist, for example, right? They're creative to like the very like, what's the term? Like their bones are creative, you know? Like where every single part of them is creative. I'm struggling here, guys. Yeah, the core of them is creative, you know? Like, and so when they come to create, when they express themselves, what do? They create. God is a community. When he expressed himself, community. How good is that? How good is God? I'm so thankful for him that he has done this and he has drawn us into it. Where is it? John chapter 17, verse 21-23 says this: "I pray that they will." So this is the prayer that Jesus prays just before heading to Jerusalem to be crucified, okay? And this isn't what he's praying for his disciples. He is praying this prayer for you today, okay? As the church, this was his prayer. "I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one, as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. How crazy is that? We have been made in the image of a communal God, which means God designed us for community. His heart is that we would experience that community and oneness that he himself enjoys, both with him and with one another. That is his heart. Community is at the heart of God. And the third point I would say is this: we experience God in community. We experience God in community. So here we have, God is a community. And because of that, he created community as an overflow and expression to who he was, and he's gifted us that. And we were made in his image so that we experience God in community. A major part of being designed for community is the common experience. Why have we been made for community? Because within it, we experience God in ways that we could not apart from it. In community, we bear the image God placed in us to the benefit of those around us. In community, we bear the image of God placed in us to the benefit of those around us. Because of you, others get to experience something of God. Hopefully. And you get to experience something of God through others. That is, image bearers, created in the image of a communal God. We get to experience God through the image of one another. And I enter into community so that others can experience something of God that, apart from me, they wouldn't. Again, how good is God? Like, his overflow, his goodness, his love, the way he has designed us. 1 Corinthians, Paul puts it this way. I'm going to read, from chapter 12, I'm going to read a bunch of different verses. So the first one is 12, verse 12 to 13. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. A couple of verses on, it says, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part, yes? Imagine that. Paul's actually pretty funny in this bit right here. So imagine if there was just one body part. Okay, so you would go, oh, well, I'd pick a head. Yeah, but a head has multiple parts, doesn't it? So, like, are we a nose? Are we an ear? Are we a finger? Are we a fingernail? You know, like, as in, like, imagine it. Or are we just, like, torsos kind of, like, rolling along the ground sort of thing? No way of high-fiving or hugging each other. Murray's dying a little bit inside with that one. But imagine that. Paul's actually been a little bit funny here. And I really, really appreciate his humor that he brings out. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Will you agree with that? Yeah, totally. It would be super weird. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Again, humor, but deep. So good. You can't have my hand saying to my arm, I don't need you, because otherwise it is useless, dead, amputated. Like a lot of things, you know, like without the arm, the hand doesn't do it. And so without Jeremy, we lack. You know, like without Rob, we lack. Without Tom, we lack. Without Eve and Mahalia, without you, we lack, because we are one. And we cannot say, I have no need for you. Paul says we don't get to say that. And he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, who, by the way, when he showed up, created a radical community. We don't get to say to each other, I don't need you. You were made in the image of God, who is a community, whose heart and plan is for community, so that you could experience him within community. That's how I would define just what we covered right there. You were made in the image of God, who is a community, whose heart and plan is for community, so that you could experience him within his community. Just let that sink in. How good is God? Yeah? Man, it brings a whole new thing to like Psalms, you know, when I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, like, and then we go like, how fearfully and wonderfully made is the body of Christ? Like, that's such an amazing thing that I can't do without you, and you can't do without me, that we get to experience God together and because of each other. Not in spite of, because of. Now, what that practically looks like, that's like a whole nother conversation that we're not going to get into right now. But this is one, I want to say this. We hear so often the words within the church to the effect of, I don't need you. We do. Be it through spoken word or just the way that we act towards each other. A cold shoulder. You know, like whatever it might be. The way that we speak and act towards each other so often, in effect, says, I don't need you. And we just read that we do need each other, that we can't actually survive without each other. Why do we think that we can get away with not being in God's community and still think we can go as deep with Jesus and grow in our faith? Now, don't get me wrong. We can go deep with Jesus individually. Yes, we can. But never in the way that you can with the other. Never. And so what we are talking about here as a marker of maturity is that your maturity, your growth, your depth in your faith, and your relationship with Jesus will be stunted apart from God's community. You can go deep, yes, but not in the ways that you could with each other, with me, with you. We are the body of Christ, and we cannot say, I don't need you. So, what is this community? Quickly look at the time. What is this community? Adele Calhoun, in one of her books, she writes it as, oh, there was another verse. See, guys, you forgot. Man. See, now it's on you, not even me. This is so good. Yeah. Individualistic. All right. Adele Calhoun. Christian community exists when believers, Jesus followers, connect with each other in authentic and loving ways that encourage growth in Christ. They engage in transparent relationships that, it's important to notice, cultivate, celebrate, and make evident Christ's love for all the world. How good is that? I just think it's just an honest definition, way better than I could ever do. And the way that she captures Christian community, that it cultivates, celebrates, and makes evident Christ's love for all the world, for you and for me, for Frankton, for Hamilton, for New Zealand. Like, the expanse of it is massive because we've been drawn into the community of God, and we see that the community of God is one that can't help but create community. Then this is what the church can do, should do. It is a part of our faith. And we cannot say, I don't need you. Christian community is Christ-centered. Earlier I said that communities gather around like passions, you know, things that we're interested in. Pottery, for example, things. Nick, I think that was that you, bro? Yeah, so good, man. And as Christians, we gather around the common unity we have in Jesus because of Jesus. That is what we have in common here. Now, if we didn't have that, man, honestly, there's this Tozer quote that's just coming to me that I wish I could be putting up. He has this amazing illustration of, like, if a piano, like, tries to tune itself, like, and all the pianos try to, like, if we imagine we're all pianos, you're a piano now, okay? Welcome to the party. We're all pianos. And if we all try to tune ourselves, but then play together, not so good. Now, Tozer talks about the tuning fork. And so if you have a room full of pianos tuned to the same key, it's beautiful. There's melody and harmony, symphony. It's stunning. And so this is the point of a Christ-centered community. It's not that we are trying to tune ourselves. It's that we look to Jesus, our tuning fork, and let him tune us. That is Christian community. And see how against culture it works. That when it, sorry, when culture is so me-centric, so me, I, and self. It's actually going, no, if you want to be all you can be, tune yourself to Jesus. Don't try tune yourself. That will never work. We're running out of time. I'm going to go off script. So, not in a bad way, Craig. It's okay. So, just really quickly, I just want to talk about what does loving well in a Jesus-focused community look like? What does loving well in a Jesus-focused community look like? Now, I do not have easy steps here. Like, there is no easy steps. The closest thing we have to an easy step is tune yourself to Jesus. And then he says, anyone who will follow me must die to themselves. So even that just isn't easy. But it's worthy and worthwhile and it is beautiful. Because when a bunch of image bearers of God look to Jesus, who is our everything, and who died to establish his community here on earth, and then was raised to life so that it could flourish, that he has to be our focus. He has to be. He has to be our tuning fork. And so I'm not going to come up, I don't have a bunch of points. I think I've got something, where is it? Here we go. Community is something that we practice. And I think that that's where we're going to probably land it this morning. Community is something that we practice. God's community is full of broken people. This church, full of broken people. If you've met me, you would agree. I don't say that in like a put myself down kind of way. I say it as somebody who's been like captured by the grace of God and has been put back together. Community is something that we practice. We have to be committed to it, consistent in it. We have to work at it. We have to go there, show up, make the phone call, send the text. We have to practice it. Now, what does that look like? This. But it's messy, and that's good, and that's okay, because the messiness makes us lean into Jesus more. It looks like life groups. It looks like practicing the one another's. Like, literally, the Bible is full of love one another, forgive one another. That's a hard one. Think of one another, encourage one another, sing songs to one another. Come on. So many one another's, though, yeah? And often we leave them like disassociated from one another. But when you bring them together, imagine a community that practiced that. Imagine. That's beautiful. It's good. It's possible. Because it's not about perfecting it, it's just practicing it. That's all we're doing. Jesus will perfect it. And if he is our focus, then that is what will happen. Not easy, but worthwhile. Community comes from God. Community comes from God. But our ability to function within it also does. And that's the whole point of being Jesus-focused. To love well, forgive well, listen well, welcome well, embrace well, not at the moment. To do these things, right? To do these things, we have to receive them first from Jesus. So yes, community is from God, but it's not that we're trying to be a better community. It's that we go to Jesus, the source of all community. And we receive from him these things that we can then express in community. And we will see a transformed community, I believe, as a result. Community isn't where we go for fulfillment, but to express what God has done in us. And in turn, it becomes the community it can be, deeply transformative. I will land with this. God's community has dealt to loneliness. It has done away with it. It does not need to be. That is a part of the beauty of God's community, that it is so self-giving, so abundant and full of life, that as we receive it, loneliness should dissipate. Loneliness isn't welcome in God's community. It's not. But it's something that we still experience. And that is okay. That is okay. But if it's just something we continue to experience and we see no change in, then we need to ask ourselves, are we growing in this? Are we practicing this? Are we leaning into Jesus, being filled up by Jesus, so that we can then express the fullness of Jesus to one another? God's community does away with loneliness, but it was never intended to do away with aloneness. Deals to loneliness, but it was never intended to do away with aloneness. We have to come away and be with Jesus if I hope to forgive you when you wrong me or care for you when you're lonely or even meet up with others. Because I'm an introvert. Well, I'm not really. But you know, like, giving examples here. If we hope to do these things, we have to come away and be with Jesus. We just have to. We have to receive from him. Otherwise, we will be a works-based community, focused on trying to do like a lot of really, really good things and then just end up tired, really tired. And so, come away, so that then, filled by Jesus, we can engage in community, overflowing with all that he has done in us. And just like God, where community is an expression of who he is, so too, for the body of Christ, becoming an expression of who we are as we are filled by Jesus. That's the image bearing right there in community. That just like God expresses himself through community, so too we can, as Jesus radically transforms us from the inside out. Lord, we just thank you right now for community. And I want to acknowledge right now, Lord, to you that this message in such a season was tricky, like tricky and messy and all of those kind of things. But you're good with that. You're really good with that. And so, Lord, I ask right now that you would just take what has been said, Lord, and you would strip away the needless, that you would amplify your goodness, and that we would become so aware of what you're saying and doing, that we would lean into you as a community, that we would recognize that community is how you have designed us, and that community flows from you. Help us to set our eyes, our focus, our gaze, our attention, and our imagination on you, Jesus. That we would be so enthralled and captured by who you are, that community would pour out of us. We need you, Jesus. We love you. We thank you for your body that you have made, that we are a part of, that we get to practice and partake in, and that you are the head, that you're guiding and directing. May we become the church that you so desire, radically transformed by your love, and seeing your love radically transform the community, this community, and all those around us. In your awesome name, King Jesus, we pray. Amen.